Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church of Duncanville, Texas. I'm Jane Grainer. I'm the senior pastor.
I'm Wesley McCall. I'm the music director.
And it's great to have all of y'all here worshiping with us this morning. As we normally do, we'll be taking prayer requests during our time together. So if you have a joy or a concern or a blessing, just go ahead and post that to the Facebook feed and we'll lift that up to the Lord later on in the service. I also wanted to invite you, if you have not done so already this week, is to make an offering to the ministry of this church. You can do that by going on our website, tumcd.org, or through our Church Center app. I wanted to go ahead and announce that many of you know this already, but long-term member Lou Klatt passed away on Thursday, and her funeral is going to be this coming Tuesday, April 13th, at 3:30 at the Wade Funeral Home in Arlington. So if you just Google the Wade Funeral Home there in Arlington, you'll be able to get directions. And if there's any question, just go ahead and contact me. But Lou Klatt's funeral service, this coming Tuesday, 3:30 at the Wade Funeral Home in Arlington. We're also celebrating Holy Communion this Sunday. So if you don't already have your bread and either your grape juice or your wine ready, you may want to go ahead and be getting that together. We'll be having communion then right after our sermon. Our communion rail offering for this month is for the Mississippi Band of the Choctaw Tribe. Next Sunday is actually Native American Ministries Sunday. And so our communion rail offering this month is going to one of the tribes that we have been informed is in great need of some financial support. In fact, our own Indian church here in the North Texas Conference recommended this particular tribe as being a recipient of our communion rail offering. And if you've been keeping up, many of our Native American tribes have been particularly hit hard by the COVID pandemic. So please give generously. And again, you can do that on our Church Center app. Looking forward for our sermons, we have a special guest preacher this Sunday. We are actually having our bishop, Bishop Mike McKee, offering us our sermon this morning. It's entitled, Christ Has Opened Wide the Doors. And he has graciously made this sermon available to all the churches in the conference specifically for this Sunday after Easter. So we'll be going to him right after our prayer for illumination later on in the service. But looking forward in our sermons next Sunday, we're going to be starting a two-part sermon series on the resurrection entitled Resurrection, the World Turned Upside Down. We've been studying the cross during Lent. And so for two Sundays, we're going to take a closer look at the resurrection. And after that, starting May 2nd, we're going to be starting a very special sermon series where we, as Christians, will be examining other religions, other faiths here that our other human beings, fellow human beings, share upon this earth. And we're entitling that sermon series, The Warmth of Other Suns, which you may recognize is actually a title of a book, and we'll go into that during that sermon series. But The Warmth of Other Suns will be our examination as Christians of other faith traditions among our human family. Very special program this coming Tuesday evening. Reverend Beatriz Pachaco, who is appointed to our church, she is the manager of pastoral services at the Methodist Dallas Medical Center, and she's going to be speaking to us about her experiences with COVID-19 in her pastoral ministry there at the medical center. And as any chaplain, full-time chaplain knows, they've been on the front lines of our COVID-19 pandemic, being with the patients and being with their families and also ministering to the doctors and nurses and the other staff there at the hospital. And she'll be sharing her experiences. And I'm really looking forward to this. It is going to be this coming Tuesday, 6:30 in the evening on Zoom. The Zoom information was in our latest edition of our Trinity Times newsletter. But if you need that Zoom invitation again, contact me and I'll be happy to send that to you. And then this coming Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we're going to start anew our pastor's Bible study with a study of the book of Genesis. And Genesis happens to be my favorite book in the entire Bible. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And again, that starts this coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock on Zoom. And again, just contact me at the church for Zoom information on that. Our Sunday morning connection groups continue to meet at 9:30. Our UM Disciplines class via Skype, contact Mo Tanner. And then our Lift class, Living in Faith Together, started a new study just this morning, a book study of the book that's just come out, I'm Black, I'm Christian, I'm Methodist. And so even if you missed this morning's session, you'll still be welcome to join them for the following two Sundays for that particular book. And again, you can contact Evelyn Glass for more information. And so now let us enter into a spirit of worship and prayer with this centering psalm.
From Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And now for our opening prayer. Most gracious and loving God, who has swallowed up death with the resurrection of Jesus, bring about in us new life in Christ. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us hearts and minds fit to praise your holy name. Enable us to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth, in the name of your risen Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And though we cannot be together in the same space, we are together in the same time. So my prayer for you is, peace be with you.
Our prayer for illumination. Creator God, just as you raised Christ from the tomb, roll away the stone that guards our hearts and our minds. As the word of God is proclaimed, mold us into new creations. Raise our hearts and minds to new life. Amen.
It's good to be with you the second Sunday after Easter. And our gospel lesson appointed for this day continues the resurrection story that was probably read in many of your churches last Sunday, and that comes from the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter. And so here's the reading of the Gospel for this day, beginning with the 19th verse of the 20th chapter, again, of the Gospel of John. Hear these words. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Jesus answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. And now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oh Lord, in the silence of this moment, prepare our hearts and minds to hear your word for us this day. Work your will in our lives. Amen. I have several idiosyncrasies. We all do. And most of the time, none of us name them to another human being except to those who probably we're the closest to. My wife learned very early on, in fact, it was on our honeymoon, that I am afraid of heights. I'm not just afraid of heights, I'm terrified of them. And the idea of somehow being high up and getting close to the edge is not something that I enjoy doing at all. I can remember that we were on our honeymoon in San Francisco, and I kept looking out at someplace, and I said, man, there's someplace far off that the elevators are going up outside of the building into a very high, high place. I want to go see what that is. Well, I didn't know where it was. But 2 days later, we were going to have lunch in our hotel and went to another wing of the hotel, and we got in these elevators, and all of a sudden the elevators were shooting outside, and I could look out and I could see that somehow it looked as if we were falling as we were riding several stories up because the street was, of course, in San Francisco, was on a hill. Joan looked out and was looking at the city and said, you need to see this, you need to see this. And my face was glued to the elevator door, because I was afraid to look out. It doesn't matter if it's a high bridge. It doesn't matter if it's Empire State Building, because one time I was there and I came back to the elevator and they said, you have to go to the back of the line. And finally he grabbed my arm and he said, sir, why don't you just stay right here? He could see the fear on my face. It's so easy for us to mock fear, isn't it, in another human being? Why would you be afraid of that? I have special friends, and they're friends who share my own idiosyncrasies about being afraid of heights. But I think sometimes we read a gospel story that was read just a few moments ago, and I can imagine looking backwards 2,000 years, we can begin to imagine all kinds of things like, why would the disciples be locked in a room? Window shut, door shut, because they're afraid. And I can imagine many of us sometimes look at that, read that story, knowing what we know about the biblical narrative and history and even the arc of the Christian faith and other religions, I would say is that there was no reason for them to be afraid if they knew this Jesus. But I've learned I don't mock other people's fears. And I would like to think that I would be a man of great courage at a time like that, but I have to admit, I don't know how I would react or respond. This man with whom they had been with 3 years, they had abandoned him. They knew he had been crucified. And they were afraid they were next. They were very, very afraid. Earlier that day, you remember this from last week, that Mary had gone and had actually met Jesus, and she told the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and they didn't believe her. They didn't believe her for a number of reasons. One is because they hadn't seen him, and secondly, why would a woman be carrying that witness and that culture that day to a group of men? But while they're locked on that first day of the week, shortly after the resurrection, what happens is that the risen Lord appears. And he says some very unique things. In fact, it says that what he does initially is he even breathes on them and gives them a gift of the Holy Spirit, which means he empowers them. Later on, in the text that I read to you just a few moments ago, Thomas doubted them. He's often called the doubter. Thomas didn't believe them. He was just like them. He hadn't seen him, so they don't believe him. He doesn't believe them, and why should he? But isn't it interesting that those 11 persons who are in that house that day and had seen the Lord, that a week later they are still in the same house, still afraid, even after Jesus said in breathing upon them, "Peace be with you," which was his way of giving them courage, but more importantly, a mission. You see, they've been his disciples. They'd been his disciples, but now they had a mission, and that was they were to be his apostles, which meant that they had to go into the world. They had to begin to talk about this Jesus whom they had followed, this resurrected one who had given new life, and they had to begin to do that in a world that would not believe them or may even threaten them. And so a week later, in the same place, found by the same risen Lord, only this time Thomas is with them, and Jesus speaks to him. The interesting thing about the celebration of Easter is, in the Christian churches, we tend to think it happens on one day, but let's remind ourselves about the whole Christian year, and that really Easter is a celebration of 7 Sundays. And how it is, the reason it is, it's not because this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, but it's an ongoing appearance of this risen one in a variety of ways. And so it's not something that we do and think about, oh, if we were able to gather in large numbers, that we would have a lot of people in a worship space, or there'd be brass, or there'd be any number of ways in which we would be celebrating the resurrection and singing festive hymns. It is a reminder to us that the resurrection is not a one-time event of which you and I really are not witnesses. But it's the ongoing story of the church about what it means to be sent. What it means not to just be a follower or a disciple, but to be an apostle. That is to spread this message into the world, and not just, hey, do you know Jesus? Let me tell you about him. It's really to sort of live in such a way that people know this risen Christ because of who you are and how you live. You see, one of the things that really strikes me this year about the celebration of Easter is this, is that really we are best at the church not by gathering together on a Sunday morning, and by the way, I think that is very important, is a reminder to us somehow that this Easter is that Christ really throws open the doors of the church and says, if you really want to be the church, then you go out into the world in which I'm sending you. And because I've breathed on you and have breathed on the ones who've come before you, that somehow you see yourselves, you're unafraid anymore to speak truth in what's happening in our world or even in your own community. And if we begin to think about Easter as just a celebration and what's just about me and Jesus or my good friends and Jesus, it is about each one of us and the world in which Jesus is calling us to live deeply and boldly. And if there's a fear that we have this year, or any year, is we don't really know if we can live like that. We're afraid. Fear is still the thing that really captures all of us in some ways. It's not sin, it's fear. In fact, Jesus talked more about fear than he did a sin. And the reason being is because he knew that that was the obstacle to any kind of growth in any human being's life. I know now that I will never outgrow my fear of heights. I've done everything I can to imagine what I should do about that. But that's not the thing in which Jesus is the most interested in me or my personal life or my Christian life, about my fear of heights, but it's about my fear and your fear too, about what it means to somehow live boldly as a follower and as an apostle for Jesus the Christ. This has been the most unusual past year I can imagine. None of us imagined this, and I know that some of you have been very challenged by the fact that somehow if we couldn't all gather in person and worship, that you really weren't worshiping God. I need to remind you that you and another person can worship God together. You can do it online. You can do it in any number of ways. It's not my preference personally, and I know it's not many of yours. But there will come a day about that. But probably there's been no time like this for so many of us that we really may have been the church in new ways that we would have never imagined. When I hear story after story after story about what many of you have done as a congregation or individually, it's like everything clicked. Everything clicked, and it's like everything we have learned and known for so many years then brought us to a new place. And by the way, that new place, while we may not physically see Jesus, I think that we began to see, as Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, at any time anybody was hurting, any time anybody was naked, any time somebody was in prison, any time somebody needed food or clothes or anything, and you gave to them, then you really saw him. Think about what's happened. I've said that in other ways. Think about what has happened, that it's not only that we've sort of gathered as the church, we've actually scattered as the church. I find it remarkable. I find it remarkable the way so many of you work with nonprofits. I find it remarkable the way in which you have been so generous about feeding people, about sheltering them. And just a few weeks ago, in the midst of everything that else is going on, we are all left, or many of us are left, without power in the whole state of Texas. Some of us didn't have any eruption. Too many of us had some interruption, and too many still don't have it. We're aware of broken pipes. We're aware of people freezing. We're aware of people losing food that was in the refrigerator. We're aware of so much. And guess what? If we continue to go in such a way that we don't acknowledge that that's still a challenge for so many people in our community, then it is as if we never heard the Easter story about being sent into the world. What are we afraid of about finally saying there's just too much pain? There is so much pain among people who have very little, who worry about where their next meal is going to come, who have no idea how they're going to get a vaccination and ride a bus, four different buses to get to a site to receive the vaccine for COVID-19. Most of us have no idea about that. But somehow, if we follow this Jesus, we walk into places that we are unaware of what really happens. And some of us are somewhat frightened about that. At best, we're just uneasy about it. But it's in those kinds of places in our own lives that's where we see this risen Christ. In the face of another, in the hand of another who needs someone or something. And frankly, if we were really, really cognizant of all that was happening around us this past year and saw the pain that was happening, this could be the most important teaching Easter moment ever in our lives, to come face to face with human need and see the risen Christ. I'm afraid of a lot of things. So are you. I also don't like snakes. It's not that I don't like snakes. I'm just afraid of them. I'm deathly afraid of them. And I don't even bother to see if they're venomous or not. But you have those kinds of fears too. The one fear that we should not have as faithful followers of Jesus is the fear of the unknown when it comes to being with people whom we don't know, or bringing forth the good news and a sack of groceries or a small heater or mopping up water out of a house or creating warming stations in our churches in so many places in the North Texas Conference. Isn't it amazing how the world, not that it's planned, those of you who may think that God sent that ice storm and caused the power to fall, I just ask you to rethink your understanding of God. But it's in those moments that are unplanned, unexpected, and really not caused or wished upon us by a God who dearly loves us, that we really can come into the pain of others in such a way that they begin to think, I don't go alone. I go with this risen Christ, and while I can't see nails in his hands or put my hand in his side, I know there's this presence of this Holy Spirit that continues to walk with me, and that really we can face what is needed to happen. And friends, I could begin to catalog those things that need to happen about people who don't have access to health care, or people who live on by working two jobs, and at the end of the month they don't have enough for utilities or prescription that somebody needs. At some point, we've got to begin to understand that perhaps is a mission that is worthy of you or some another. But at some point, I think when you really live into that kind of mission, you can honestly realize that Christ has opened the doors of your church or your life in such a way that you can say, I saw him. I've seen the risen Christ. I can't call his name. She appeared in a different kind of way, but it's just in the need of another human being that deserves the abundance of life that you have. And it's not just about believing. It's about being whole, fully whole. That's God's dream for everybody. It's not God's dream just for you. For you, God intends to use you to make that happen. And there's no better celebration of Easter than that. May that peace be yours, so that you live in no fear that you need not have. God bless you.
Okay, evidently I am on, but I'm not seeing myself in my own screen, so I'm going to have to take others' word for it that I am actually on. And now we're at the point where we want to have Holy Communion. So if you have get your bread and your grape juice or wine ready, so we can be able to start Holy Communion. And so Christ our Lord welcomes and invites all people throughout the earth to the table of God. So if you're ready to accept Christ's invitation, if you love God, if you repent of your sin, if you intend to live in peace with all, then let us confess our sin before God and one another. And so as I say each phrase, you please reply when I raise my hand with God have mercy. So let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. God have mercy. We have failed to be an obedient church. God, have mercy. We have not done your will. God, have mercy. We have broken your law. God, have mercy. We have rebelled against your love. God, have mercy. And we have not loved our neighbors. God, have mercy. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. God, have mercy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess silently our own personal sins. Hear the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that proves God's love for us. So in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And it is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. He was recognized and in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us that are here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of blood that we may be for the world, the body of Christ redeemed with his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now there is one loaf, for we are all partake of one loaf, and so therefore the bread which we break, is it not a sharing then in the body of Christ? And the cup over which we give thanks, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? And so if you will take your bread, and this is the body of Christ that was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ that was shed for you. And so now hear this prayer after receiving. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. And so now we come to the part of our service where we lift our joys and concerns up to the Lord. And I want us particularly on this Sunday to be praying for the family of Lou Clapp and the loss of her passing away on Thursday. And so if I raise a concern, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and you respond, hear our prayer. If I raise a joy, I will say, this is the work of the Lord, and you respond, thanks be to God. So for the family and friends of Lou Clapp and for this congregation in her passing, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so we've also received a prayer request for Evelyn Glass's sister, Chandra Thompson. She's in a Houston hospital where she is in an induced coma with a do not resuscitate order signed. So prayer for her husband and sons and for her sister and for the entire family and for the medical team. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We had the very great joy meeting yesterday, the United Methodist Women, for the first time in person in over a year in Donna Burson's backyard. And so we had a wonderful time of fellowship together. And so we want to offer a prayer then for the future of UMW as we navigate how to gather together and to continue to minister in this community. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then just a prayer of thanksgiving that we were able to get together yesterday morning and just to share and be together and to talk to one another and see each other's faces and to share how our lives have been over this last year. So for this meeting of the United Methodist Women, this is the work of the Lord, and therefore, thanks be to God. And finally, I would like to offer up then a prayer for our church, that as we continue to be able to meet more often in person, as the world opens up in this season of Easter, that we can be the Church of Jesus Christ anew in our community, and for our community not only in the Duncanville-Cedar Hill area, but our community online as well, where I know that we have people from around the area that are joining with us on Sunday morning. And I pray that we can continue to be the Church of Jesus Christ and be able to offer that message of eternal life and good news to a world that is desperately in need of hearing that good news. And so now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just remind you again, Lou Clapp's funeral is going to be 3:30 this Tuesday at the Wade Funeral Home in Arlington. And be sure to join us for Beatrice Pachaco on Tuesday evening at 6:30 via Zoom, and for the rebirth of our pastor's Bible study Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock on Zoom. So now receive this benediction. Go tell it on the mountains, on the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ was born. He lived among us. He died for us. He was raised before us, so that we might live to tell that old, old story of Jesus and his love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now go in peace, continue to wear your mask, and get vaccinated.